I wonder if we took account how many times people have heard this incident. It's in Mark, it's here. How many times people have heard this? Remember, these are the words of the Word of God. This is God talking to us, giving us some very simple, direct, humanly understandable talk. But what is he saying? What does this mean? Why was it recorded? God, who runs the whole world and takes special, divine, preoccupied care of the church, made sure that in the scriptures we have this event recorded for us. John tells us, if I'd have written everything he said and did, the world couldn't hold the books. Why pick this? What does it say to us this morning? Remember, Jesus just preached this to us, as Vatican II tells us. Jesus, you know, what are you trying to tell us? What are you saying? Now, it's quite likely that when the word is read out like this, it's not like, you know, one size fits all. You know, everybody here, if you were listening, you know, could get something out of it. It's told that way. And our Lord, particularly with these images, these parables that he tells us, is opening it up. The principle that he gives at the end, you know, after discussing this, why don't your disciples fast? And he doesn't say, well, now, the answer is, does he? He just says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Well, now, let's, you know, we don't have forever, but let's use our heads a little bit here, you know. Beg the Holy Spirit to come. You know, like Mary, let's ponder this. What does it mean? We can get some, you know, handy little moral application and run off. But this is God talking to us. Any smart fella could tell us new things should be with new and old should be with old. And if you got a brand new explosive idea, you can't fit it into, you know. We don't need God to tell us this. What's he telling us? And it's not just new information. It's supposed to be a word that changes our lives. So they came to him. And I guess the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself weren't fasting very much. And that's a part of, you know, religious practice. It's one of the three foundations of biblical piety, right? You pray, so you're in union with God. You fast, so you don't eat the whole world. You know, and we do that. Right? We eat everything. Take everything and transform it into ourselves for my benefit. You know, well, we eat food, but we eat everything. We eat people, we eat reputations, we eat information, we eat. Fasting means leave it where it is. That's chastity too. You see? Just let God be God and leave it right where it is. And admire it. Don't eat it. Don't make everything an object. That's what fasting's all about. So certainly the Son of God is not telling us, forget about that. You can eat the whole world. Go ahead. Just enjoy yourself. Stuff yourself with commodities, money, reputation, knowledge, whatever you want. Can't be that, can it? But the presence of someone among them is so great that it changes the whole way this is understood. Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, certainly on one level, that is that irreplaceable, marvelous presence of Jesus when he walked among us, when he was here, when you could see him, you could watch his reactions to stuff, you could hear the tone of his voice, you could be his friend, you could walk right down the street with him and be called to be one of his. And you know, have meals with him. And then he died and rose. And in that particular way, he's not present anymore. And so there is a fasting, and there is a suffering. And of course, these men all knew it. Most of these people that are, you know, around Jesus now, died for their faith. So they fasted plenty. But Jesus is telling us that there's something new. And I think there's a, you've heard me say this 100 times, but you know, like today is Saturday, we can do the luminous mysteries. You take this text for one of your decades. You know, one of them is on the public life of Jesus, isn't it? Well, instead of doing the whole public life, take this and just keep praying. Mary, Mother of God, can you open up my poor brain and touch my spirit? Let this word of God touch me and change me. What is it all about? Well, there's a new mode of presence. Huh? No, we can't see Jesus with our bodily eyes until we go to heaven. But does that mean he's absent? He promised, I won't leave you orphans. He promised. And you see, our imagination carries us away. Jesus is in heaven, which is 160 million light years, you know, beyond Mars. No. Heaven is a way of being. It's not a place. It's got to be a place somehow because bodies are there. Jesus is right here. And he's going to be here even physically. The body and blood, the humanity of Jesus that all the saints and angels worship, adore, are thrilled to behold. It's right here. That's what the Eucharist is all about. Oh, these silly fights over the Eucharist. And here's this glorious, you know, Protestants and Catholics. And here's this gift. That's the new wine. That's the new wine. This whole mode of presence. And then they'll fast. Why? Because they're so sad? No. Because if I'll stop eating the world and feeding my own ego, I will know the presence of Jesus. And in my spirit, I will hear the tone of his voice. Not every day. But you know, it doesn't take that much. Isn't that true? This is kind of personal, but one day somebody at the prayer meeting, oh, I don't know, 100 years ago, I don't know when, was reading the Song of Songs. And they read the line, let me hear your voice. And Jesus was just saying that to me. I mean, I heard him say it. And I thought, oh my gosh, you really want to hear me talk to you. You really love me that way. Well, that was years ago, but it's just as living and powerful now as it ever was. You know what I mean. This has happened to all of us. See, and that new wine, that needs new wineskins. That needs a whole different attitude toward God. If God has become man, then our metaphysics has to change. We won't do metaphysics here this morning, but our metaphysics has to change. We don't even know who God is. This is, so we need a new, we need new wine skins. And that's a transformed life, but it's a transformed life according to the mode and the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the biggest obstacle is self-will. I'm going to do it my way. I got my ideas. It's going to happen my way. And you'll just stand back and watch Jesus. You'll love it. He loves us, but he won't love that. You see how we have to beg Jesus? What does this mean? Why is it here? 2 millennia we've been reading this. Anybody caught on? Yeah, the saints. The saints got it. It's a whole, and that's why they look so wacko to us sometimes. Because they're not walking around in these old wineskins. You know, they're not just trying to make everything fit their mindset, their culture, their ideas, their prejudices, their whatever. They're saying you can have it all. Just speak to me so that I can hear you. I think that's... Now, does that exhaust the text? Of course not. It's been 2 millennia of saints and mystics working on this thing. But it might be enough to get us started. Might be enough to get us started. Remember, every one of these things is an incalculable treasure. Incalculable treasure. And so we have to go and say, Jesus, I don't get it. Look, you know I don't get it. You know, I'm stupid, I'm gross, I eat everything. You know? Help me. Help me get it. Let me be a new wineskin that can kind of contain this glorious presence of yours in the power of your Holy Spirit in all the world, in your word, in your Eucharist, in all the sacraments. Let me get it in such a radiant way that it makes sense to me and to other people. And do whatever you have to do to get me there. Do what you can with me.